Because God's word is the supreme authority, our understanding of Scripture is articulated, if you will, in the Westminster Standards. So the Shorter Catechism is saying that the Bible is the authoritative word of God. And this is clearly taught in Scripture. And so one example that I would like to turn your attention to this evening is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Notice the context of this statement. If you go back to verse 15, Paul writes to young Timothy that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul here, of course, is referring to the Old Testament, because at this point in time, very little of the New Testament had been written. And Paul refers to the Old Testament books as holy scriptures or sacred writings. And this would include, by the way, such books as Genesis and poetic books such as the Psalms, poetry as well as historical narrative and the law. They are the Word of God written. The Holy Scriptures are able, Paul says, to make you wise unto salvation, to show you the way of salvation. And the reason that they can do this is that they are the very words of God. So now in verse 16, Paul continues from his statement to Timothy about the Scriptures having brought him into the wisdom of the gospel. Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration. All these holy writings, the Old Testament Scriptures and New Testament Scriptures, I'll show you in just a moment, are inspired of God. He is not saying all God-inspired Scripture. He's saying all Scripture is inspired by God. And there's a difference, a subtle difference, but an important difference. It's not men that were inspired, not the writers of Scripture, not the process, but the result. The text written, Old Testament and New Testament, are inspired Scripture. Literally, Paul says that all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed is one word in the Greek. All Scriptures, he says, are the breath of God. They're the exhalation of God's breath. This is the breath of God, the Word of God, that is created. God spoke and the worlds came into being. God spoke and there was life. God's breath is powerful, reflecting the God who exhales. This breath comes to us in a knowable way through the written Scriptures. So the Bible is the breath of God, the Word of God, reflecting the character of God, which is truth and light. But it's written by men. So how did this process come about? 2 Peter 1:20 explains how Peter says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worked through the writers like Moses or Paul, so that what they wrote was the very words of God. Sometimes they knew it was. Sometimes they did not. Now in John 10, 34 and 35, Jesus says this, and he's quoting from Psalm 82. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law?" That would be the law of Moses. "I said, you are gods." If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. Now, there's a couple of things here to notice. Jesus is making an argument based upon the psalm using the plural rather than the singular. The second thing to notice is that Jesus is saying that the sacred scriptures, the sacred writings, cannot be broken. It is the unchangeable word of God. It is truth, and truth does not change over time. Truth is truth. Paul wrote something very interesting to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:18. He says, "For Scripture says," again, he's referring at this point in time to Old Testament, the Old Testament scriptures, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages." 1 Timothy 5:18. Now, what's interesting is here, Paul is quoting both the Old Testament and the New. The first quote, "You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain," is a quote from Deuteronomy 25:4. And the second quote, "The laborer is worthy of his wages," is a quote of Jesus from Luke 10:7. So Paul equates the words of Christ and Luke and the words of Moses, Deuteronomy, as authoritative scripture. There's one other passage worth noting. The words of Jesus in Matthew 5:18 says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." This is an amazing statement. Scripture is the very word of God. Jesus is saying down to the very letters. Do you see that? The yod, or jot, as it is in our text, is the smallest Hebrew letter. It would be equivalent to a Y as far as what it looks like and kind of how it acts. The tittle, which is a mark that distinguishes between letters. It's the tail that makes the difference between an O and a Q. There are several Hebrew letters that are just like that, that are distinguished like an R and a D in English are distinguished in Hebrew just by a tiny little tail, tiny little tittle on that letter. So Jesus is saying that the breath of God gave us scripture not in a general meaning, not in a broad statement of things. But the very words are from God, inspired of God. The very letters, plural, or this letter versus this letter, are inspired of God, the very breath of God. That is detailed, if you will, inspiration. It's not broad inspiration. It's detailed inspiration. The Old and the New Testaments are holy scripture. They are the very word of God. And therefore, they are the only rule to direct us how we are to glorify God and enjoy Him. This is God's word to us directly, and it is authoritative truth. So Paul writes back in 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul writes, therefore, because of the nature of inspired scripture, that it is the very breath of God, down to the letter, down to the tittle, God's word is profitable for doctrine. Why would you go to man to develop a doctrinal statement or a doctrinal idea or a thesis when you have the very word of God telling you? This word doctrine simply means teaching. Simply, oh, I don't like doctrine. Perhaps you've heard that from people. Well, if they don't like doctrine, they don't like God's word. God's word is full of teaching, full of doctrine. The Bible, God's inspired word, is truth and light. Therefore, it is accurate in regard to life and godliness, Peter says. So we don't need other religious books. We don't need to add to what God has said. We don't need the Book of Mormon. We don't need the Quran. We don't need special revelations today like some folks teach. There is no ongoing revelation. Revelation is complete. It is final. Revelation, the book of Revelation, makes that clear. We are not to add anything more to it. God is not breathing out any more scripture. So true doctrine about God, what we are to teach and believe and understand about God, His nature, His work, about salvation, all of these things, how we're to live, how God wants His people to live day by day to glorify Him and enjoy Him. All of this is given to us in Scripture. And it must come from God's self-revelation. There is no other certain knowledge about God. So all Orthodox Christian doctrine comes from the Bible. The deity of Christ, the Trinity, the atonement. True doctrine flows from the word of truth, the word of God. Not emotion, not feelings, not what I think, but what the scripture says. We need to understand, and I mentioned this morning, but it's a critical thing. Christianity is knowledge-based, not feelings-based. These things are written that you might know, John says. The truth of God is in black and white, would be another way of putting it. It's not something that's nebulous and moving around and hard to get a hold of and understand. Some doctrine is meat and hard to grasp, like the Trinity. But it's in black and white for us to understand, to read and to learn and to know. Truth is propositional. It is written, understandable words. And God has written them that we might read and know His will, know how to glorify Him, serve Him, and enjoy Him. Because Scripture is God's word, Paul goes on, it's also useful for reproof. That is, it convicts us of misbehavior. Misbehavior which does not glorify God. How is Timothy to rebuke the false teachers that were harassing the believers in Ephesus? not by his own authority, not by his own opinion, but by the word which he is to preach, Paul tells him. And it's because Scripture is the word of God, Hebrews says, this is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, the breath of God is powerful, creative. It is through the Scriptures that God brings conviction of sin. But they also work faith in us. So unbelievers don't like to read the Bible. It convicts them. It makes them feel uncomfortable. It points out their sin. And yet it is through the Word of God, the Bible, that the way of salvation is shown to them. And faith is aroused. Paul says the Bible is profitable for correction. This is the only use of this word in the New Testament. And it has the idea of restoration of something to its original state. In secular Greek literature, it was used of setting upright an object that had fallen down, for example. It's the idea of this word, correction. So God's word does not just condemn sin or sinners. It rebukes sin, but then positively, it also restores or shows the right way. And this is true of both Christians and non-Christians. It helps us as believers to live in a way that glorifies God. It helps us to know God's will, if you will. Again, God's will is not something that's nebulous and he's trying to hide from us. He reveals his will in his word. This is how we glorify God. This is how we serve God. This is how we enjoy God. This is his will for us as believers. For the unbeliever, it explains how they can know God. It shows the way of salvation. And then God's word is profitable for instruction in righteousness. This word instruction comes from a word that basically meant to bring up and train a child, pedagogy. That's the Greek word. We use it in English. Eventually it came to be used of instruction in a general way. The image that comes to my mind is an athlete in training and doing weightlifting and conditioning and running and push-ups and all of that. That's the idea of this word. And the Scriptures, which are the very word of God, the breath of God, the creative breath of God, which is truth, condition us, train us for the temptations and the struggles of life. They train us as to how to live righteous lives that glorify God in a sinful and perverse world. Just as an athlete who does not prepare and train well will not do well in the race, so we will not do well in living righteously, living to the glory of God, without the discipline and instruction of God's word. So again, Psalm 119, that great psalm that speaks about the word at length. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart You know the rest of it. That I might not sin against you. So this is why we need to read God's Word. We need to study it, memorize it, meditate on it, Psalm 1, day and night. Think about God's Word, mull it over, chew on it, apply it. God uses His Word to transform our minds, our thinking, our actions, our conduct, and to conform our thinking and our living to Christ. In fact, Paul applies this in this way in verse 17. So that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So the Bible, which is the very breath of God, is powerful. It is life transforming. It is working in us for God's glory. So it is the only rule to direct us how we are to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is truth and we can trust it and depend upon it and live by it. For we know and confess that our eternal state depends upon it. So, Father, we pray that You would give us a greater love for Your Word, that we might hide it in our hearts, that it might be our rule that directs us how we are to live, how we are to glorify You, how we are to enjoy You. So, Father, help us to be people of the Word, not just in profession, but in reality. We thank You for giving us the Scriptures. We thank You that You did not leave us in the darkness of this world without a guide, without a light for our path. And we pray, Lord, that we might not take it for granted, but that we might see it as something to love, something to embrace, something to internalize, because it is Your Word. Father, bless us to that end, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.